Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. It is Wednesday, June 13th, 2023.
Glad 14th, to have you. 14th, buddy.
Oh, geez, I'm sorry. 14th.
14th. It's Flag Day. Look behind you, man. Behind you. It's 14th.
And thank goodness that I have our colleague and our friend, Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News and founder of the Courier News Service with us today, as always, on a Wednesday. Pat, thanks for keeping me on track.
Oh, was that live? I thought I had just special access to your earpiece over there to tell you the date. That's sure. My old TV producer, you know, habits are coming back into play.
I appreciate your help nonetheless. It is Flag Day, June 14th. And for those of you watching on a video component, either on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or all the other things that we're on, yes, I do have an American flag next to me, and I have it on the correct side of the presentation. And the reason,
as noted by Mr. Aaron Zommers and fellow Boy Scout Pat Kreitlow,
yes, very good. Now Zommers was an Eagle Scout. How did you get that high?
No. I proudly say I was a second class scout. And that is literally the rank that I got to. Probably the worst rank to have when you depart Boy Scouts. Almost anything else would have sounded better than a second class Boy Scout.
I don't know. I feel like some of the lower ones do sound worse. Like if you say, I was a tenderfoot.
Right, but yes.
Well, you know, that just makes you sound young and, you know, a little inexperienced, you know. Second class sounds like you just kind of washed out, which in some ways I feel like I did. But I look at other Eagle Scouts, like, you know, your Scott Walkers and things like that. And, you know, I don't feel quite so bad.
Well, you know, there's we got Zommers. We've got Luke Mathers is an Eagle Scout. Isn't there somebody else here at Civic who's also Eagle Scout? I forget. Anyway, well, you're better than me, Pat, because I lasted, I think, one summer. I had a bad experience, a bad troop leader, and so. But yes, it is Flag Day, and the reason that I wanted to bring this up, Pat, and I'm interested in your opinion. I'm a former longtime Republican, left the party in 2011. You're a longtime Democrat, was a former state senator for the Democratic Party in northern Wisconsin, Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls area. There's been this movement, I guess, for lack of a better term, since 2015 or so, of Trump and Trumpism and the Republican Party taking the American flag. And that's a symbol suddenly now of Trumpism. And I'm not going to have anything of it, because the American flag to me should represent all of us. When I was going to state party conventions back in the 80s and 90s, there were no Reagan or Bush flags. There was only the American flag. I went to my first Democratic convention, and you were there as well this weekend in Green Bay. I didn't see any Tony Evers flags or any Joe Biden flags. I saw an American flag. And I think it is one of the few material things that should unite us. What say you, Pat Kreitlow?
I couldn't agree more. And throughout my entire time in politics, not only went to work to make sure that we had, you know, say an American flag, you know, in our, you know, parade marching and in our office at our county party meetings, but a state flag as well to make sure that, you know, we let people know that all together we are Wisconsinites and that, you know, we have a flag for the state that we should also be equally proud to wave. Now, I will say, in terms of the Democratic convention, there was Pat, the American, who was very happy to see the American flag was properly positioned. Mm-hmm. And then there's Pat, the TV veteran, who was looking at clips as I was editing video clips of the convention and noticing that the way that they placed the camera, there was no way to get the American flag in the picture. You were getting the flags off on the other side of the speaker, but because the camera was off center, and I was like, ooh, I really would have framed that up a little differently. Yeah. But, you know, that's just the TV aspect of shooting, you know, a flag and a podium.
Right. No, it's very true. And I think as the person, I ran a couple of times for state assembly and lost, of course, but I was more often the advance guy, you know, the person that set that stuff up. And having a TV and radio background myself, I was always very conscientious to get the flag so close to the candidate or the podium that you had to be a really terrible camera person not to be able to get that in the shot.
It is one of those things about TV that folks don't appreciate till they're involved in it, is you have to get things really close together to get them on the screen. You're, right. As co-anchors, you sit almost unnaturally close to each other. And that flag, you swear, is going to jump into your ear canal. But it's really just, you know, up close so that it gets into the camera shot.
Today also is the anniversary or the birthday for the United States Army. One of the cool things that I got to do working for a U.S. congressman is help out with Academy Day. And I got to go to West Point at one point. Really a fantastic facility. And to me, Pat, that's another thing that the United States flag does, is it bands together all our military service women and men across the country. And regardless of how people may or may not feel about military actions in the past, I think that we should all be thankful for the men and women who voluntarily sign up to keep our country safe.
And I say that as somebody who had a son-in-law who worked at West Point for several years, for the Army West Point hockey team, but to be on the grounds there and to get a feel for the sense of, you know, duty, honor, and country, those aren't just some schmaltzy throwaway, you know, patriotic taglines. Those are real emotions that people feel there. The whole notion of service, that we serve together, regardless of party, race, creed, color, what have you. And we simply need to recapture more of that spirit in the problem solving we do in our capitals, not just on the parade grounds and at the podiums.
Pat, I could not have said it better myself. I appreciate it, my friend. And isn't that a beautiful setting of the Hudson River up there? I mean, oh my gosh.
Gorgeous.
If you ever get a chance to do like the public tours, go. If you're up in upstate New York or middle part of New York, beautiful. Pat Kreitel,
you won't regret it.
You will not. Every morning, 6 until 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network, the host of Up North News, and soon to be the conveniently Pat Kreitel show on our new affiliate in Chippewa Falls.
Coming soon. How convenient indeed.
Look forward to it, Pat. Thanks. Stay tuned. Trevi Olson is next on the Civic Media Radio Network. To the Todd Lawball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 1:15 across the state of Wisconsin. Glad to have you here for those who may be new to the program, because we've been on since last fall on predominantly the western part of the state, southwest, central, and northwest. And now, as of a couple of weeks ago, we are on every afternoon 1 until 3 across the state of Wisconsin in places like Waukesha, WAUK, AM 540, and FM 101. In Waukesha, Milwaukee area. Up in Green Bay, we're on WGBW 1590 AM 97.9. In Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, WCFW 93.5. Of course, in Richland Center, Amory, Oshkosh, Wisconsin Rapids, Hayward, Racine, Kenosha. And in La Crosse now, WLCE, The Eagle, AM 1490. So to all of our new listeners, we welcome you across the state. Every Wednesday, we are honored to have a longtime friend of mine and also a former Republican like myself, Republican staffer and operative for a long time in Wisconsin, went on to work for the likes of John McCain and Mitch McConnell and all around the world on democracy, is one of the few, the only person I know who is banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself because, you know, he stands up for democracy. And he's also just a heck of a nice guy who grew up in northwest Wisconsin and still gets there a lot. And the most important thing, before we bring him on, an owner of the Green Bay Packers. Trigby, how are you?
I know now we get to expound in the Green Bay market. Oh, so much to talk about.
So, I mean, we can only
imagine. All we need is love, as my daughters say. In this time of the Beatles. Did you see the Beatles are going to release another song using AI? Right?
That's both cool and scary to me.
It is right? Both. You use ChatGPT?
No, I refuse. Because, I mean, if do you watch Star Trek at all? Are you a Star Trek fan at all?
A little bit.
I mean, this is exactly like the Borg. If you're not familiar, the Borg species in Star Trek world is kind of this species that assimilates people and things to grow their intelligence and their power. AI is the first part of the Borg, and I refuse to take part in it.
So I started playing around with it a little bit because I have kids who are teenagers, and of course they use it. And I was working on a writing project, and I would feed my writing into it, and it was about 3 a.m. because I write in the middle of the night.
Sure.
And I had some music playing, and you know that song by Paul Simon, You Can Call Me Al?
Yeah, yeah.
I said to it that I would call it Betty, and Betty, when it called me, it could call me Al. And it realized that I was making a joke. It realized what I was referencing. And the craziest part, because I ended up paying to have ChatGPT-4, about 2 weeks later, it called me Al out of the blue.
Gosh.
And I was like, oh my God, this is freaky.
That just scares the crap out of me. And I guess, as long as we're on the subject for a second, you're someone who has worked on presidential campaigns, most notably for former U.S. Senator, may he rest in peace, John McCain. And you've used it. You've also been overseas, as we said. You've seen, you know, bad, not bad, but they're good, actually, sadly, but misleading political ads. And now in politics, right, the great fear is you hear this deep fake where computers, AI, can take someone's voice, actual voice, and manipulate and their cadence and make it sound like they're saying something they never did, and then use that in an ad or video that makes them look like the actual person.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen, I mean, some of the video stuff is pretty amazing. Yeah. There was this thing I saw with Tom Cruise where it wasn't really Tom Cruise, and they were just showing the potential of it. I think this is going, there's no doubt, as this election unfolds, not just with domestic actors, but with foreign actors, there will be deep fakes that probably get traction. And it really does change the approach that campaigns have to undertake, but quite frankly, voters who are listening, you have to be aware of that, because it's the old Mark Twain, a lie will travel 10 times faster than the truth. Right. And that's the problem. It only takes a few people to get with a deep fake to get them talking about it, and suddenly it has traction. And that's something that voters really, ultimately, it's on them to be responsible about it.
And I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there are bills making their way through Congress right now in Washington, D.C. to regulate and or outlaw, things like this in the campaigns. But to your point, the Chinese don't care about that. The Russians don't care about that. They make one of these.
The Iranians.
Yeah. And suddenly it goes online. And before anybody can take it down or be charged, how many millions of people see that?
Yeah, that is, Trump talks about the Russia hoax, but what is documented fact is that they were, and, Mueller concluded this, Marco Rubio's committee, Senate Republicans concluded this, they were meddling in the U.S. election, as were the Iranians and the Chinese. And, they're going to use any tactics or tools that they feel like can cause chaos. Because that is really their agenda, is to create mutual equivalency between their autocratic systems and our system. And they do that in Europe, too. I mean, that democracy is a threat to them if it is a shining city on a hill. And so they try and sully the shining city.
As long as we're there, speaking of the presidential election, Donald J. Trump, the former president, was arraigned yesterday under arrest in Miami, and then went out and used the whole thing as a campaign tactic, essentially, and a fundraising tactic. I thought it was disgusting myself. I think there were two, and Trigby knows this term, is called Kion. Essentially, it's a fancy name for the banner at the bottom of a TV screen. And there were two opposing Kions or banners that went yesterday on television that I think really tell the whole story. Over on CNN, the Kion, the banner at the bottom, said, CNN: Donald Trump under arrest in federal custody. And at the same time, over on Fox News, it showed a split screen. I guess this was just after he'd been released. It was back in Bedminster in New Jersey. A split screen of Trump holding a fundraiser off of this, the president of the United States, Joe Biden, giving a speech, and the Kion, the banner at the bottom of Fox News, was, quote, wannabe dictator speaks at the White House after having his political rival arrested.
Yeah, I mean, the sad part in all of this is the people who are trying to make Donald Trump's taking of classified information And trying to make it that, you know, a condemnation of the justice system. Donald Trump wasn't indicted by Joe Biden. He wasn't indicted by Merrick Garland. He was indicted by a grand jury of his peers. He is going to have a trial with a jury that only takes one person to hang the jury. The rule of law in the case of Donald Trump is working. And the reality is, as somebody who's been around classified documents, if it were anybody other than Donald Trump, they would probably be in Leavenworth by now making big rocks into small rocks. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, Donald Trump, you know, is a guy who doesn't believe that believes that the rules are for suckers, I think. Right. And this time he's got a real problem. I mean, because, you know, this is something that quite frankly, the U.S. government doesn't mess around. It's also the stupidest crime. Right. People who are buying into what Trump is selling them, it's the dumbest crime ever. If he was getting the benefit of the doubt, if he'd have just given the documents back, it wouldn't be an issue. He would have been afforded more leeway than somebody at State Department who had documents in their shower. Or anywhere else, any military, whatever. But he didn't take that opportunity, which, I mean, it's just a stupid crime by somebody who thinks that the rest of the world are a bunch of suckers that will believe what he's selling.
And if you don't want to take it, I mean, I've known Trigger for years. I obviously trust him and know he's telling the truth. But, you know, if you don't think that we're telling you the truth, look at Bill Barr, Trump's former attorney general, who is on television saying what Trigvi just said. Even last night, Trigvi, I'm not sure if you saw it, I'm not sure what program it was on, former Vice President Mike Pence, now in the race for 2024, even he last night was on television saying, you know, I had the weekend to look this all over, and I can't defend the accusations here. Even he says that. I can't defend. Right? I mean, even Pence can't defend.
He defends the accusations where Trump tried to have him hung, but he's right, not. Right. This passes the Pence line, right? Like it's a pretty big high bar. You can threaten to hang him, but by God, you know, like, well, yeah. Nikki Haley, John Kelly, all of these people. And what's Trump's answer always? His answer always is, you know, they were disloyal, blah, right, blah, 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 blah. This is about you. The truth of the matter is, and this is the thing why from Donald Trump's emergence, what led me to leave the Republican Party, although I'm still a conservative, pretty really conservative, quite frankly, on a lot of stuff, is that I saw my friends back home in Western Wisconsin who I'd go out and drink beer with. Every time I'm back, which I try and be back as much as possible and go to Packer games with them and all kinds of stuff. And they were buying into Trump. And I just thought he's playing these people who are so well-intentioned, such good people, for fools. And I'm fortunate enough to be close enough to the situation to know that. Mm-hmm. And it just infuriated me. I mean, everything from like the charging $50 for field signs after they changed the contract at the RNC to an obscure LLC in Delaware that probably is owned by Jared Kushner. Like hard-earned money from people who, you know, would be better off keeping it in their pocket. And Donald Trump wants them to put up a field sign. Shoot, when we were running campaigns for people like Dale Schultz or Jim Harsdorf or people like that, were we asking people to, like...
No.
Pay $50 for a field sign? We were happy if they took the field sign.
Exactly.
And we certainly weren't profiting by owning the company selling the collateral materials.
That's the sad thing. I agree with you. Like the people up in Hayward, people in La Crosse area, my part of the state, Richland Center, all across this state, there are great folks. And we might not always see eye to eye in terms of policy, but they're well-intentioned people who have gotten taken by a grifter like Donald Trump, and it's just a really sad situation.
Well, and I'm fortunate because it's doing some national stuff, but you know, I have conversations with, you know, people who are big Democrat donors out on the coast, and they'll, you know, every once in a while, not all of them, but every once in a while I'll run into somebody who will be, you know, hammering on people who are like, you know, my favorite people in the world, all my buddies.
Right.
and back in Wisconsin and be like, well, these people who supported Trump, you know, fools, evil, whatever. They're not. They're actually the people you want as your neighbor. Because right. if you got a crisis going on at your house, they're bringing you a casserole and, you know.
And to be clear, we're not talking about the Yahoos that were down in Charlottesville, not those type of people.
No,
we're talking about people in western Wisconsin who, Trigby says,
absolutely.
As Tommy Thompson said, when you come home from vacation, they got a bag of cheese curds in one hand and a six-pack of Miller Lite in the other and say, welcome home, friend. Back with more of Trigby Olson after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 1:33 on the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. We welcome you back. Our guest this hour, the one, the only, Trigby Olson, who is the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, a Wisconsin native, longtime political advisor here in Wisconsin and nationally as well, left the party as I did because just no longer represented exactly who we were and what we believed in, but still doing great work. We talked before the break, Trigby, against somebody that we both know very well, and that is former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson, four-time elected governor of the state. And no matter whether, if you're listening right now and you say, oh, geez, Tommy, maybe you didn't agree with all of his policies, but I don't think too many people could disagree that the guy who was born in small-town Elroy in southwest Wisconsin loves this state and was a cheerleader for it and an advocate. I remember after he became Secretary of Health and Human Services under George W. Bush, Dale Schultz and I went out there, my former boss, along with former State Senator Alan Lissay. Remember Senator Lissay? Governor Thompson, then Secretary Thompson's longtime aide, who Trigby and I both know, Bob Wood, Woody, great guy. Now one of the most powerful lobbyists in D.C., by the way. Bob Wood is doing very well for himself. Thank you very much.
Yes, he is.
But Tommy gave us a tour, and he sat down. I was just along for the ride, right? He was really talking to Dale and Senator Lissay. And I'll never forget it, because Dale said, how do you like it? And this is probably, I don't know, a year in, something like that. And he says, geez, he says, I can't stand it. He goes, when I was governor, I'd wake up in the morning at 6 o'clock with an idea. I'd have my staff there by 7:15. We'd have it in the hopper by noon, and by 5 o'clock, it'd be done. And now when I have an idea at 6 o'clock, I have to put a call into the White House. I wait until noon until I hear from a 20-year-old who tells me I can't do it. He goes, I hate it. Yeah. But, I mean, this is a guy who got things done, who traveled the state of Wisconsin. And, Trigby, as we look at what's happening right now in Wisconsin, particularly on higher ed, the Joint Finance Committee last night said that they were going to cut the budget of the University of Wisconsin by over $30 million. They were in a closed session debate for 8 hours until about 10:30 until they delayed it. But I don't know why Governor Evers isn't going across the state in Tommy Thompson style, revving people up.
For sure. I mean, yeah. This is the kind of thing that you'd win on, because like you go to any of these communities where Eau Claire, River Falls, La Crosse, Oshkosh, this isn't just about the University of Wisconsin-Madison, which incidentally is like a statewide treasure with, you know, that helps put Wisconsin on the map and made Madison like the Silicon Valley of biotech. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, you go to any of these communities, Superior, Richland Center, where you have a two-year college, right? There's such cornerstones of the community and such important assets to those communities. And, you know, this whole notion that I don't think is a majority opinion, you know, that, oh, the universities are just about indoctrination. That's just ridiculous.
It's hogwash.
They're the cornerstones of these communities. They're economic drivers in these communities. They provide assets to improve the economies of these places. They provide educated workforce. They provide the teachers, the doctors, like the dentists. Why you would be not embracing that when you're a state like Wisconsin that's in competition with others, Michigan, you know, Minnesota, all these other places. Like, it's sad.
And what does it say about the Republican narrative, or not even the narrative, the agenda that they want to just destroy the Wisconsin idea?
Well, it's what's, yeah, I mean, it is, and it's what's dangerous with all this, you know. There was a survey I saw recently. I didn't read it in depth, but I read the top lines. It basically was saying, you know, they went and asked students, have they ever felt like they don't have the right to speak what they believe? And none of them were actually saying it. Yet you listen to the former governor, Scott Walker, and you would think that they're indoctrination camps like East Germany in the 1960s. I mean, that's all the guy talks about on Twitter. And and it's killing. They're going after the wrong target because it's a convenient narrative to say, oh, education elites. Mm-hmm. And it's just this, and it's kind of like I was saying, I think when we were off the air, you know, the most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far right elite ecosystem. They're the ones who really think that they play on the good intentions of people and take advantage of them. And it's why people like you and I were just like, we're leaving the building.
Yeah.
I mean, and of course, we're not really well liked sometimes in certain our certain former circles, because we know where the bodies are buried and how ridiculous it is.
And the great part is, Trigby, now that we're on statewide across 12 different stations across the entire state of Wisconsin, we get to do this every week. Dig up political bodies across the entire state, and people can tune in, because there were a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were, you know, Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Steve Gunderson, Scott Klug Republicans, and
Reed Ribble.
And let me tell you, folks,
Toby Roth for the old timers, right? Out there.
And let me tell you, folks, this dog don't hunt. This Republican Party you got now with Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux and our good friend Brian the Shim Sham Man at the top and these folks, I mean, here's the question, Trigby. I know you know the answer, but I'm going to let you go off on it anyway. We played the cut yesterday from our, he's about our age, Paul Ryan. Had drinks with him. You know him better than I do. Former Speaker of the House, former Republican Congressman, was on CBS yesterday morning saying that he is a never-Trumper, says flat out, Republicans will lose if Trump is the nominee, and then went on when asked about kind of the anti-woke agenda. He goes, look, I'm just not into the social stuff on this. It makes good primary fodder, but I'm an old Jack Kemp acolyte. I'm looking at stuff like, you know, the economy and people's paychecks and China. And I said, look, whether you agree with Paul Ryan or not, that's a fair, reasonable debate to have. But instead, people in Wisconsin, the Republican Party at the top, want to start banning books, for God's sake.
I know it is. And I'm glad that Paul is speaking out more, right? Like that is a good thing. Paul Ryan, I had this fascinating conversation once with Ron Paul, and I asked Ron Paul who his friends were in Congress, and the second person he mentioned was Paul Ryan, because they used to sit on finance committee things and talk about Ayn Rand. I mean, like, Paul Ryan is conservative in a John Lockean sense. The bottom line is that that's not the party anymore.
Right.
The party that those of us who are Generation X and are, you know, late 30s, 40s, 50s, the Republican Party that stood strong globally up to Russia and understood there's a bear in the woods and you better stand up to it. The party that understood that fiscal responsibility meant that you found places that were eliminate waste.
One second. Go ahead. Yeah, we're getting callers. So, yeah, whoever wants to call in, Aaron, we'll put them on hold. We'll take some callers here. Just finish up that thought first, though.
I mean, that's the bottom line is that it was real. It was conservatism based on thought out principles.
Absolutely.
And that's gone.
It is gone. And the ship is sailing. That's the great point Trigby is making. That when you see, you know, I mean, this weekend in La Crosse, and we'll hopefully get to this, we were no longer allowed to come up the Pacific Media to La Crosse and be part of the Republican State Convention up there. Literally, their slogan, their theme of the Wisconsin Republican Convention this weekend is, quote, red to the roots. unquote. I mean, red to the roots. The red communists. I mean, that's just
whatever happened to better dead than red.
Right. Let's go to the phones. Trivia and I, happy to answer any questions you might have. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. We go to Jeannie in Eau Claire, one of our brand new stations up there in the Chippewa Valley, WCFW 93.5 FM. Jeannie, what say you, my friend?
Well, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. And this is a great show, and you're coming in loud and clear, and I just love it. And I just have to say, you're the person that's in there with you with the Lincoln Project.
Trigvy, yeah.
I love the Lincoln Project. I couldn't believe it when they started being truth tellers. I mean, I cannot believe the Lincoln Project. I'm really proud of them. And it really is nonpartisan. It's just telling the truth and the facts out there. And you guys are so brave. I just had a call and see, I was excited to hear we have some Lincoln Project in our state. That is wonderful. I've been following for a very long time the breakdown on the tax on education. It started, when Walker was in office and with our right-wing radio stations, that's all you heard is how the teachers make all this money and they don't really teach. And, oh, it was really disgusting. And nobody was fighting back. You couldn't hear the other side. And that's why I'm so thankful for you guys and for Civic Media, because people need to hear the truth. And keep up the great work. I'm really excited about this. Thanks,
Jeannie,
guys.
We appreciate it so much. Before you go, Jeannie, I want to ask you real quick, because I know Trigvy would be interested as well. He's on the line here if you want to say anything to him. But are you a lifelong Democrat, a lifelong Republican? And what do you consider yourself?
Like a mixed breed, I guess.
Yeah.
You know.
And so many Wisconsinites are, right? I mean, so many. There are a lot of ticket splitters in Wisconsin.
And I've never been a member of a party at all. You know, I believe in people being able to choose. I believe in women's rights to choose. I believe I am kind of conservative with money, but I'm also believe that we shouldn't be wasting money on private schools without any oversight whatsoever. The public can't even go in, whereas, you know, our public schools, we need to make them better. You know, I taught Sunday school and Bible school, but I don't wear that on my sleeve, and I don't mm-hmm. condemn other people for their. We got to accept people who they are and love them for who they are. And you guys are just, a light in the dark tunnel. So thank you very much, guys. Thank you.
Thanks,
hey, Jeannie. I would just say, first of all, that, you know, I was around at the start of the Lincoln Project. Every time I hear that, when we first had the conversation about, all right, we're going to do this, every time somebody says that we helped inspire them in some small way, you have no idea how much you all inspire us, because when we stood up, we thought, what if no one else stands up with us? And so every time I hear that, it's people like you, it really, they're the ones who change America, not us. But second thing is, you mentioned education in Eau Claire, and I went to school at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. In fact, five of the best years of my life were spent in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And it was a sad day for me when the Brock cabin closed and the Pioneer was sold. But that notwithstanding, there are good people in education. A classmate of mine at Eau Claire, Mike Johnson, who's the superintendent there, is a really good guy. And we just have to keep reminding people and supporting the people that education is really the cornerstone of these communities. And so.
Thanks, Jeannie. We love you calling in. We appreciate you so much being a great listener. Have a great day up there, Eau Claire. All right, that is Jeannie in Eau Claire. If you'd like to be like Jeannie, love to hear from you. A question for Trigvy Olson from the Lincoln Project. As Matt Flynn says, all callers welcome, all points of view taken. 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789, or we'll make it easy, 844-96-PARTY, P-A-R-T-Y. Trigvy, we are not going to be, well, we don't expect to be in the hall at the Republican Party state convention this weekend because... I don't want to say got disinvited, but they sent us an application to have a table out in the walkways there, And we sent them a check, and they sent it back. And then they had this ridiculous fundraising email that they put out on Monday saying that we were a left-wing propaganda organization silencing Fox News. We've got about 30 seconds before the break, and we'll pick it up afterwards.
I just think, at the end of the day, Todd, they didn't want us sitting at a table, kind of like what Jeannie said, because we're going to see all these people that we've known for years, and we know that they're troubled by what it's become, too.
As Rush Limbaugh used to say, Trigby and I, we're just harmless little fuzzballs. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back to the Tell All Balls Show. It is now 1:50 on the time and temperature sign. Glad to have you along with us across the state of Wisconsin on a Wednesday, Flag Day, June 14th, 2023. I have the U.S. flag behind me there. We'll talk about that in a minute, Trigby, but I want to finish up on this subject of civic media saying, being told by the Republican Party of Wisconsin, an organization that we used to be tangentially a part of. I was a card-carrying member for years. And telling civic media we are not allowed to bring our wares, our banners that are not political, but simply say, hey, here's our radio network. Here are our shows. We'd love to have you give us a listen. We did this at the Democratic Convention in Green Bay. A good time was had by all. And the thing is, here, you'll appreciate this, Trivia. Again, former Governor Thompson used to go around the state saying, geez, you know, I just don't understand Democrats. They must get up in the morning and suck lemons and drink grapefruit for breakfast because they got these sourpuss faces and Republicans are happy all the time. It's exactly the flip now, Trigby, because I went to the Democratic Convention. Guess what? U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin was all over the place, a smile on her face, happy as a lark, greeting people. Congressman Mark Pocan, greeting people. Josh Call, our Attorney General, greeting people. Governor Tony Evers having ice cream with the folks. Happy. And then you look at Robin Voss, who looks like he just got out of a root canal.
I don't understand why they're so angry, but there is a lot of anger. But I mean, here's the other piece of it, Todd. To be quite honest, I really think this. You and I are broadcasting from there. The problem with that is if Tommy Thompson's walking through the hall and sees us, he's going to be happy to see us.
Exactly.
All, you know, and they don't want that.
Right.
Because, you know, it's a reminder. And this is the truth. A lot of these people are sitting, they know better. Mm-hmm. They just don't want to come out and say it because they're afraid that they'll lose power, that they'll lose, you know,
and you hit
whatever.
You hit on something really important, Trigby, because we've had former Wisconsin State Senator, former Assistant Majority Leader Neil Kedzie on this program. My former boss is Dale Schultz, state senator, majority leader, Scott Klug, still a Republican. Steve Gunderson, former congressman, still a Republican, have come on this show. I've invited Senator Howard Markline from Southwest Wisconsin on this show. Won't do it. Tony Kurtz won't do it. Our colleague, Kristen Bry, as goes Wisconsin, she has the emails, sent all kinds of invitations to city Republicans. They won't do it. Trivia, why is it that Republicans, unlike in the past, no longer want to talk about their platform and their ideas?
I mean, I think they, at some point, and Wisconsin was on the cutting edge of this with Walker, there was a decision made that we're just going to run a base strategy. Mm-hmm. We're going to try and enrage as much as possible and just turn out as many of our people as possible rather than doing what politics is supposed to be about and what's healthy, which is try and go out and convince people that, you know, there's common ground to be found and that you're the people to do it. And so, and there's a lot of people who are uncomfortable with that because, quite frankly, I mean, I would guess that deep down for some of these people, it's a miserable existence. Yeah. That said, I mean, I think, you know, I can only speak for myself, but I feel like I can speak for you too. We don't agree on everything.
No.
We don't have a problem with having a conversation about it. And the fact that they don't want to come on and talk says everything. In fact, I was thinking, well, since maybe they didn't do that, you know, like, I mean, I haven't talked to Robin Voss in years, but I've known him since I was a sophomore in high school. Would he not want to have a conversation with me about like why we chose different paths when we were in the same place? We were both senior leadership of the college Republicans in college. Like, you know, there's a lot of history there. I can consider Robin a friend, but I don't understand it.
To me, it just says they're embarrassed about their agenda, and or they realize that their current agenda is not popular with 50% plus one of a statewide audience.
Yeah, and so the only way that they can win is by turning people off and then energizing their base through anger and
through
fear.
And through voter suppression.
Well, and fear. Right. I mean, they play the fear card all the time.
Right. And that's just not a...
And mutual. And what about mutual equivalence?
Right. I mean, I said this about my former boss, Scott Klug, when he was running for Congress the first time, you know, against a long-term Democratic incumbent here in South Central Wisconsin. Scott used to say, you know, I felt a little bit like Jesus Christ, because where two or three are gathered, there I was also. You know, I mean, he would, he'd talk to anybody. I mean, Tommy Thompson never found a microphone he didn't like.
No.
You know, and why just the fact that Republicans don't want to talk to the president anymore is just ridiculous.
You know, at one point when I was working for McCallum, it was a campaign season or leading up to it. And I ended up going to a Packer game with Tommy and McCallum, and watching Tommy Thompson at a Packer game was a sight to behold.
Yeah.
Like, he was happiest out in the parking lot, jaw jacking anybody.
Yeah.
And everyone he ran into, he knew somebody from their, you know, from their town. And he, you know, that because he just loved being the governor. So,
we're going to give you the last word. Again, I think it says a lot that the current Republican leadership in the state does not want to come on and defend and talk about their agenda. We'll save that more for another day. I want to end on this, about a minute and a half for you, Trigvi. We have the U.S. flag behind me. It is Flag Day. And I know the Lincoln Project and Resolute Square and the Union, all offshoots of the Lincoln Project, have talked about this. The Trump team, Trumpers, have tried to co-opt the United States flag, which is a symbol of unity in this country. I'm not having anything with it, because to me, the U.S. flag represents all Americans, and I'm going to be part of taking it back.
I mean, that's kind of the point that we were trying to make, is for whatever reason, Republicans and the right, certainly the MAGA right, I mean, maybe even more than Republicans, because, you know, you go to most small towns, people are flying the flag. It's the American flag. Neither side owns that. And this whole stuff of one side trying to own patriotism, that's just, you know, and flying the flag, first step. And I will tell you, this is a fascinating story, but like, whenever I've had Europeans or other people over here, one of the things that always jumps out at them is how many Americans fly the flag.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you go overseas, they try and do more of that, but you just don't see the flag flying. Maybe on official buildings, but not on people's houses. And that's one of the things that makes America special.
Yeah. I want to make sure, Mr. Zomers, I've got 57:40. I got one more minute left. Is that correct? I think. Can I grab one more?
You know. That's correct.
All right. I thought maybe my clock was off. It's fine. And God love Mr. Zomers. He is pulling a triple shift today and has given a personal plan. So I really, honestly, a shout out to you, Aaron, for helping us out today and being here, my friend. I really, really do appreciate you. Before we let you go one more time, the Packers, I'll give you a quick 30 seconds on the Packers. Any big Packer news you want to talk about? Anything that excites you right now?
Honestly, the passive aggressive behavior. Aaron Rodgers could be from Minnesota. He's so passive aggressive. I haven't been having this much fun since college.
He was at the Tony. He was at the Tony Awards this weekend.
Taylor Swift twice. Honestly, this is the thing. Those New Yorkers, they might think we're a bunch of rubes and they ripped us off. We, our UW lacrosse grad, Brian Gutekunst, he cleaned their clocks.
I just hope Aaron Rodgers is living his true self and is a happy person now.